see up there at the top of the road, I know exactly where it is. There is a grating, and the stream runs under the road, and then it comes down here, and it probably goes under here. Probably drains somewhere over there.
So it's like a culvert, but small.
Exactly. Yep.
Why?
Because it's clay. It's cracked probably because it's clay and something hit it and it broke it.
Oh, it's terracotta.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's what the little pottery pieces you saw.
Oh. Maybe.
You saw pottery pieces on this walk already?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta pay attention. So is walking a significant part of your practice?
It became part of it since I started. I mean, it's part of how... It's one pace and one mode for me, like, moving through the world. And it became more significant in my practice when I started making these public artworks. And because I was placing them in locations that maybe felt more like a destination for some people. And so the question of how do people arrive to it? How do people find it? And then do I organize walks as part of it? And then I started thinking about how to think about disability and walking. And I started to consider other words for walk, even that was more inclusive of different kinds of movement. And so the word that I arrived at was amble.
Amble.
A-M-B-L-E.
Which is kind of like a slow walk or a meander.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And more about the journey.
Yes. Yeah. So here we're at a crossroads and we're going to go down. I didn't know this was called the Ponticulus Trail, but we're going to go down to the Ponticulus Trail, and then we're going to go down to the Lake Trail. So we're going further down into Panther Hollow. And it's named that because there were actual panthers here at one point.
Back to that.
Ambling is like really...
Forbes Avenue is a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT, its members, or Carnegie Mellon University. Email questions or comments to pa@wrct.org.
I'm Richard Gordon. Thank you so much for joining us here on Forbes Avenue on WRCT Pittsburgh. Today we have a conversation I recorded on September 15th of 2024 with musician Heather Pearson. I think you'll enjoy meeting her and hearing her music, but her comments about the music industry today should be particularly enlightening.
Started out just like anything should. By the time I got here, I was feeling no good at all. I should be having a ball. Sometimes you don't get to choose. I've got them low down, dusty house blues. There's dust on the ceiling and dust on the floor. Dust in my eyes.
You just heard Heather Pearson's Dusty House Blues off of her 2024 record, Back to the Light. Thank you so much for meeting me here in Steubenville, Ohio, even though you're from Conway, New Hampshire.
Yes, I'm happy to be here.
Do you tour all over the U.S., or is it mostly all over the eastern U.S., or what do you do?
All over the U.S.
How is this new record, Back to the Light, doing?
So far, so good. I'm really excited about this one. This was a group of songs that most of them were written, you know, during these last four wild years that we've all been living through. The trio, Sean and Craig and I, went into the studio in Portland, Maine at the summer of 2023 to record these songs. And my goal was for the three of us to record everything live on the floor, or everything that we could record live on the floor. Meaning there are a couple of little overdubs. I couldn't play the piano and the B3 at the same time. So I did a couple of overdubs with B3, and there were some overdubs with harmony vocals. But other than that, everything was recorded live, you know, single takes. No, you know, wizardry or editing or anything like that.
Why do you like that approach?
I really like recording live as much as possible because it really captures something that you... There's this X factor. There's this just something, especially with this, with Back to the Light. When I listen to it now on headphones, I can just remember what it was like being in that room. You can hear the walls. You can hear us breathing sometimes. You can hear that we're all in this space, you know, trying... You know, as my friend Kate Munger says, you know, striving for approximations. You know, we had the ideas of these songs, and we just went in, you know, well rehearsed, and just said, we're gonna just record these songs, see where they go, see where they take us. And then I made the decision to just shelve the whole thing for better part of a year. I wanted to kind of forget how they sounded. I wanted to just come back to the takes with fresh ears. And once I realized that we had really captured something special, I was like, okay, we've got the next record in the can.
That track you just played, you could have been describing my house with a Dusty House Blues. I mean,
yes. Yeah. It's a song that I wrote a couple of summers ago when Sean and I were in New Orleans. We go to New Orleans every year. There's a traditional jazz camp that we both work and teach at. 2 years ago, we were in town for the jazz camp, and we arrived a week early, and we spent a couple of nights at a house right in the French Quarter on Dauphine Street. And it literally, the lyric does not lie. There really was dust on the ceiling.
You said Sean. You mean Sean Nadeau.
Yes, Sean Nadeau playing the bass. Yes.
Yeah. You've now put out 16 records.
Yeah.
And I feel like your music has evolved.
I often joke that I'm just a kid that couldn't decide what she wanted to be when she grew up. So I...
Have you grown up?
Oh, no. Why would I do that? But yeah, I would definitely agree that my music has, and songwriting has evolved. And especially as, you know, the city of New Orleans just keeps weighing more and more heavily on you know, the things that I create. There's something about having the seed of an idea, the seed of a song, and then with improvisation and with the sort of the infrastructure of jazz, if you will, just finding out what can happen in that space.
I feel like you start off as a sort of a folk singer, and now I hear some stride piano influences in there. I hear some Moes Allison influences in there. It's like, yeah, this is a totally different kind of music than, you know, your records in the early 2010s.
Yeah, well, the pandemic changed all of us, right? And so Sean and I were home a lot, practicing a lot. I was playing a lot more piano and really getting back to a lot of the sounds I was hearing as a kid. My dad, he didn't play music professionally. He had terrible stage fright, but he was a very gifted musical person. And he loved his clarinet. He loved his Pete Fountain records and his Woody Herman records. And my bedroom in the house I grew up in was right above the living room that had the good stereo, the good record player. And so I very often fell asleep to my dad noodling along on his Selmer, playing along with his Woody Herman and Pete Fountain records. And I would just hear this sound coming up through the floorboards. And it's funny, I didn't really truly and totally appreciate that influence until I was much older. When I was a kid, it was just like, oh, Dad's listening to his jazz records, you know. And I enjoyed the sounds, and I still do, but I didn't fully appreciate what a lasting impact those formative moments had on me until during the pandemic. I had a lot of time, as we all did, to really slow down and pay attention to our moment-to-moment experience, to memories, good and bad. And I really just steered into the New Orleans early jazz sound, which I've been falling in love with more and more every year of my life that I go and work and teach in New Orleans and play in New Orleans. But I, having that precious time that was so precious and also very difficult in so many ways, for me personally, it was a real gift to be able to just sit still for that long and really kind of dig into the creative aspect of, you know, of life. So
with your 2024 record Back to the Light, there's a noticeable change in your trio and that Davey Sturdivant is now retired.
He's retired from the road. He's not doing the long haul touring. We still play together, yeah, you know, yeah, up in Maine and New Hampshire and northern New England where we are. But the trio now has Craig Bryan on drums and harmony vocals. He is just a wonderful musician and wonderful friend. And he was part of the trio that was doing the Charlie Brown Christmas concerts. And we're right, still doing those every, yeah, year. And then when in that time when Davey was, you know, moving on from touring and you know, we just decided, hey, Craig, what do you think about, you know, playing more of my originals? And he just fell right in. And that really kind of, for me, solidified this new sound. It's sort of an old sound is new again, kind of. Like you said, Mose Allison, right, like all of those.
It's like a classic jazz trio.
Yeah.
With piano and bass and drums.
Yes, in a room together.
Right.
Yeah. That. Right. And so I really wanted to capture that, and I think we've done that. Yep.
We're chatting with Heather Pearson, and we're talking about her 2024 record, Back to the Light. Let's let the folks hear the title track from this. Tell us about the song, Back to the Light.
Back to the Light is a song that, it was one of those songs that felt like a lightning strike one afternoon. You know, just sometimes I've got many, many notebooks full of songs that I've started and never finished, started and finished and they're terrible, started and finished and they're pretty good. And this was one that just hit me in like an afternoon, like the whole thing start to finish. And I sometimes have described this as a song that sort of, I tried to capture everything that I feel when I listen to a band like the Wood Brothers, which is a band, right, I really love. And there's some feeling I get when I listen to them. And I was trying to capture that feeling with this song.
Everybody's trying to be free from the ghosts that haunt them at night. At the same time, nobody wants to admit to their fright. There's all kinds of monsters hiding under the bed, and all kinds of demons living in our heads. It's time to get on back, get on. Steam to spare. It's time to get on.
chatting with Heather Pearson, and you just heard Back to the Light from her 2024 record of the same name. And we've got up to you in Steubenville, Ohio, and I want to mention just it's how hard you have to work to make a living at this.
Yeah, I often joke that there are tens of dollars to be made playing music for a living.
It's a totally different sense of the music industry from your point of view as an independent artist, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, things are changing so rapidly, and because our technology is evolving, you know, much more rapidly than we are as humans, it's really hard to keep up. And the way that people even enjoy and listen to and even consume music has changed so much. Everything is so readily available online. You know, just a couple of clicks and you can find, you know, everybody's discography, just boom, right there. It's which I think is wonderful in some ways. And the technology, of course, like everybody has a recording studio in their pocket or on their laptop. So that's lowered the bar of entry, which is wonderful. And that just means there's a whole lot more, you know, noise to kind of get your voice heard above. Not that it's all noise. There's a lot of wonderful music out there. There's lots of wonderful music in the world, and yes, the way people are consuming it and enjoying it and supporting it is changing. You kind of have to be, as an independent, you know, full-time music maker, you have to really pay attention to those trends and also figure out for yourself, you know, what sacrifices am I willing to make, you know, in the way I live my life, you know, living very frugally and making certain choices, and at least that's what it's been for me.
Yeah. I think back to when I was young. I'm about 30 years older than Heather. You know, it used to be that back in the dinosaur days, bands would tour to support the sale of their LPs.
Right.
And now it's flipped, hasn't it?
Kind of. I mean, there is still some of that, but then it's... I remember hearing a joke about the Rolling Stones are really just a very complicated t-shirt selling company. I can't remember where I heard that, but the merchandising, like that's like a lot of concerts I go to by some of my favorite bands. You might see LPs. You don't see CDs as much as you used to, but you see a lot of t-shirts and sweatshirts and hoodies and, you know, napkin holders and all of the things.
But the LPs are now marketed as luxury items.
Yeah, there is, like I say, there is a real sea change that's happening, and I think we're still in it. You know, it's just it's evolving all the time, and it's easy to get caught up in the cycle of that and start to worry, and the idea of, you know, comparison being the thief of joy, like, oh, well, that person is doing XYZ, I should do XYZ. But for me, it's really about coming back to, you know, what do I believe? How do my actions support my beliefs? How can I maintain my integrity as I, you know, want it to be? And how do I want to be seen and all of that? It's, I don't know, maybe I'm getting a little too deep for this, but it's a deep topic. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of layers.
You know, you look back to the 1970s, you have bands like Big Star that the critics loved, but the record never went into distribution.
Yeah.
And they sort of were gone.
Yeah.
And I think that's one big change in the industry, is that the, as you said, the barriers to entry to making a record are so much lower.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect you? How does that affect the marketplace in general?
Well, it just means there's a lot more, as much as I don't like this word in the context of music and art, there's a lot more competition. You know, there's so many more of us that are all vying for the same, you know, bookings or festivals or, you know, listening room gigs or radio interviews or press or whatever. There's so many more voices that are, you know, saying, hey, look at me, look what I'm doing. And, you know, everybody wants that. Everybody wants to be heard and to be seen and to be appreciated. So, yeah, there's just a lot more competition. And because I'm not a very competitive person by nature, you know, maybe some opportunities whiz right by me that, you know, that another person might think those are the ones you should be going after. But I my philosophy from the beginning of doing this full time, especially, is to go where I'm invited, you know, because I want to honor that. If somebody really want, like, you know, house concerts, for instance, if somebody really wants me to come to their home and play in their backyard or in their living room or whatever, I want to try to make that happen and honor that request.
There's a difference in the way Heather Pearson is talking about music than the way a music mogul would. And that you're talking about the music, you're not talking about the
the bottom line.
Right.
And how many tens of thousands of dollars can we get if we add this blonde-haired bass player?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's an approach, right? That is a, you know, depending on the context, that can be a formula for quote-unquote success. And, you know, I wish you all the best. I don't know. Maybe I have a different definition of success. I mean, I've been doing music, nothing but music, full-time for 15 years, and that's a success story.
It is. It really is. I mean, but the focus is on the music,
yes,
not the business.
And business is important. It's important to surround yourself with people who can help you. You
right.
know, I have a booking agent, and I have a person who does tour publicity for me, and I have a person who's doing radio and press and all of that. And it's really about surrounding yourself with people who really believe in you. You can hire mercenaries. I don't like to hire mercenaries. I like to hire people who really believe in what I'm doing and are already fans of what I'm doing. And that's the right approach for me. It's not the right approach
for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And also I love to share it with people. I love to connect with like-minded folks, and to me, and especially with everything that's, you know, happening politically in this country, I just think that the idea of bringing people together around the ember of live music, around this, I really think we need to listen to each other more. At its best, music connects us and unites us, even if we don't agree. I forget who said, you know, we don't have to think alike to love alike. And to me, that is one of the guiding principles of my whole life, is just that we don't have to agree on everything. We don't have to agree on anything at all. And music, I think, is something that touches everybody in a way that sort of transcends all these other bright lines that we keep drawing around one another.
One of the coolest things that you do, Heather Pearson, is you share a lot of your jazz improvisations, a lot of your improvisational music with people online, either with Facebook concerts or from your website.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I have this, it's called Heather's Piano Piece, P-E-A-C-E, and I've been doing it for several years now. Every 3 days, there's a brand new, totally improvised piece of instrumental piano music that I make available on my website. You can just download them for free and listen to them. Yeah.
Of course, Heather will accept your donation if you want to listen to them, but you've not overtly monetized the project.
No, I haven't. No, it's really important to me to, because piano is where I started musically, and it's where I feel the most comfortable, I would say. Although, I do love to sing, too.
but
the piano, I feel like I can say everything that I want to say musically without having to put any kind of lyrical content to it. It's really a place where I can just freely express everything that I've been sort of rambling about.
Something that you said, Heather, made me suddenly think about Marion McPartland, the mm-hmm. late, great jazz pianist.
Oh, yeah.
And her radio show was a long-time staple all over public radio, where she'd have different musicians in, and they'd talk with each other, share ideas, and then improvise with each other.
Yeah.
You really enjoy just even watching you and Sean today. And, you know, the two of you are having fun improvising with each other up there on stage.
Yes.
I mean, that's what it's about for you.
Yeah, it's a conversation. Music is a conversation. And it's a language, and there are many dialects to that language. And I just keep, you know, trying to pick up the ones that feel the most comfortable in my skin and trying them out.
One of the records that you put out recently that I really, really enjoyed was a Heart Songs and Circle Songs. You collaborated with?
My friend Bernice Martin. She's been a dear friend for about 20 years. For a number of years, I was a music director at a very small Unitarian Universalist church in Western Maine. And Bernice was a member of the congregation who had this beautiful voice. I could just hear this beautiful, deep, resonant voice coming from the back pew every Sunday. And I discovered that she is a gifted songwriter in her own right. And so in 2018 or 2017, we started collaborating on this project that we call Heart Songs and Circle Songs. And in 2018, we released the first of two so far full-length recordings of these songs that we call them songs for community singing. And really what they are singing as a spiritual practice without any, there's no dogma, there's none of that. It's just singing for the sake of singing. And we've been traveling, Bernice and I, all over the country, bringing community singing to lots of different places, to churches, to weekend-long events, to retreats. And it's been such a gratifying other facet to what I offer.
Well, listeners, if you couldn't tell, the last track you're going to hear is a collaboration between Bernice Martin and Heather Pearson. Now, Bernice actually wrote the song, right?
She did, yeah. It was actually written, listeners are probably aware of the Peace Pole Project, mm-hmm. and there was one installed at First Universalist of Norway, Maine, which is that small church that I was the music director for a number of years. When that Peace Pole was installed, Bernice wrote this song. I took it, harmonized it. We brought a whole bunch of our friends and fellow choir members into the studio to record a whole bunch of songs, including this version of May Peace Prevail.
Thank you so much, Heather, for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. This has been a pleasure.
May peace prevail upon earth. 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 May peace prevail. May peace prevail. May peace prevail upon earth. May peace prevail upon earth.
Forbes Avenue is a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT, its members, or Carnegie Mellon University. Email questions or comments to pa@wrct.org. Forbes Avenue is a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT, its members, or Carnegie Mellon University. Email questions or comments to pa@wrct.org.
I'm Richard Gordon. Thank you so much for joining us here on Forbes Avenue on WRCT Pittsburgh. Today we have a conversation I recorded on September 15th of 2024 with musician Heather Pearson. I think you'll enjoy meeting her and hearing her music, but her comments about the music industry today should be particularly enlightening.
Started out just like anything should. By the time I got here, I was feeling no good at home. I should be having a ball. Sometimes you don't get to choose. I've got them low down, dusty house blues. There's dust on the ceiling and dust on the floor. Dust in my eyes.
Just heard Heather Pearson's Dusty House Blues off of her 2024 record, Back to the Light. Thank you so much for meeting me here in Steubenville, Ohio, even though you're from Conway, New Hampshire.
Yes, I'm happy to be here.
Do you tour all over the U.S., or is it mostly all over the eastern U.S., or what do you do?
All over the U.S.
How is this new record, Back to the Light, doing her?
So far, so good. I'm really excited about this one. This was a group of songs that most of them were written, you know, during these last four wild years that we've all been living through. The trio, Sean and Craig and I, went into the studio in Portland, Maine, at the summer of 2023 to record these songs. And my goal was for the three of us to record everything live on the floor, or everything that we could record live on the floor. Meaning there are a couple of little overdubs. I couldn't play the piano and the B3 at the same time. So I did a couple of overdubs with B3, and there were some overdubs with harmony vocals. But other than that, everything was recorded live, you know, single takes, no, you know, wizardry or editing or anything like that.
Why do you like that approach?
I really like recording live as much as possible because it really captures something that you... There's this X factor. There's this just something, especially with this, with Back to the Light. When I listen to it now on headphones, I can just remember what it was like being in that room. You can hear the walls. You can hear us breathing sometimes. You can hear that we're all in this space, you know, trying you know, as my friend Kate Munger says, you know, striving for approximations. You know, we had the ideas of these songs, and we just went in, you know, well rehearsed, and just said, we're gonna just record these songs, see where they go, see where they take us. And then I made the decision to just shelve the whole thing for better part of a year. I wanted to kind of forget how they sounded. I wanted to just come back to the takes with fresh ears. And once I realized that we had really captured something special, I was like, okay, we've got the next record in the can.
That track you just played, you could have been describing my house with a Dusty House Blues. I mean,
yes. Yeah, it's a song that I wrote a couple of summers ago when Sean and I were in New Orleans. We go to New Orleans every year. There's a traditional jazz camp that we both work and teach at. 2 years ago, we were in town for the jazz camp, and we arrived a week early, and we spent a couple of nights at a house right in the French Quarter on Dauphine Street. And it literally, the lyric does not lie. There really was dust on the ceiling.
You said Sean. You mean Sean Nadeau.
Yes, Sean Nadeau playing the bass. Yes. Yeah.
You've now put out 16 records.
Yeah.
And I feel like your music has evolved.
I often joke that I'm just a kid that couldn't decide what she wanted to be when she grew up. So I
have you grown up?
Oh, no. Why would I do that? But yeah, I would definitely agree that my music has, and songwriting has evolved. And especially as, you know, the city of New Orleans just keeps weighing more and more heavily on, you know, the things that I create. There's something about having the seed of an idea, the seed of a song, and then with improvisation and with the sort of the infrastructure of jazz, if you will, just finding out what can happen in that space.
I feel like you start off as a sort of a folk singer, and now I hear some stride piano influences in there. I hear some Mose Allison influences in there. It's like, yeah, this is a totally different kind of music than, you know, your records in the early 2010s.
Yeah. Well, the pandemic changed all of us, right? And so Sean and I were home a lot, practicing a lot. I was playing a lot more piano and really getting back to a lot of the sounds I was hearing as a kid. My dad, he didn't play music professionally. He had terrible stage fright, but he was a very gifted musical person. And he loved his clarinet. He loved his Pete Fountain records and his Woody Herman records. And my bedroom in the house I grew up in was right above the living room that had the good stereo, the good record player. And so I very often fell asleep to my dad noodling along on his Selmer, playing along with his Woody Herman and Pete Fountain records. And I would just hear this sound coming up through the floorboards. And it's funny, I didn't really truly and totally appreciate that influence until I was much older. When I was a kid, it was just like, oh, dad's listening to his jazz records, you know. And I enjoyed the sounds, and I still do, but I didn't fully appreciate what a lasting impact those formative moments had on me until during the pandemic. I had a lot of time, as we all did, to really slow down and pay attention to our moment-to-moment experience, to memories, good and bad, and I really just steered into the New Orleans early jazz sound, which I've been falling in love with more and more every year of my life that I go and work and teach in New Orleans and play in New Orleans. But I, having that precious time that was so precious and also very difficult in so many ways, for me personally, it was a real gift to be able to just sit still for that long and really kind of dig into the creative aspect of, you know, of life. So
with your 2024 record Back to the Light, there's a noticeable change in your trio, and that Davey Sturdivant is now retired.
He's retired from the road. He's not doing the long haul touring. We still play together, yeah, you know, yeah, up in Maine and New Hampshire and northern New England where we are. But the trio now has Craig Bryan on drums and harmony vocals. He is just a wonderful musician and wonderful friend. And he was part of the trio that was doing the Charlie Brown Christmas concerts. And we're right, still doing those every, yeah, year. And then when in that time when Davey was, you know, moving on from touring and, you know, we just decided, hey, Craig, what do you think about, you know, playing more of my originals? And he just fell right in. And that really kind of, for me, solidified this new sound. It's sort of an old sound is new again, kind of. Like you said, Mose Allison,
right,
like all of those.
It's like a classic jazz trio.
Yeah.
With piano and bass and drums.
Yes. In a room together.
Right.
Yeah. that. Right. And so I really wanted to capture that, and I think we've done that.
Yeah. We're chatting with Heather Pearson, and we're talking about her 2024 record, Back to the Light. Let's let the folks hear the title track from this. Tell us about the song, Back to the Light.
Back to the Light is a song that, it was one of those songs that felt like a lightning strike one afternoon, you know, just... Sometimes I've got many, many notebooks full of songs that I've started and never finished, started and finished and they're terrible, started and finished and they're pretty good. And this was one that just hit me in like an afternoon, like the whole thing start to finish. And I sometimes have described this as a song that sort of, I tried to capture everything that I feel when I listen to a band like the Wood Brothers, which is a band right. I really love. And there's some feeling I get when I listen to them, and I was trying to capture that feeling with this song.
Everybody's trying to be free from the ghosts that haunt them at night. At the same time, nobody wants to admit to their fright. Time to get on
chatting with Heather Pearson, and you just heard Back to the Light from her 2024 record of the same name. And we've got up to you in Steubenville, Ohio, and I want to mention just it's how hard you have to work to make a living at this.
Yeah, I often joke that there are tens of dollars to be made playing music for a living.
It's a totally different sense of the music industry from your point of view as an independent artist, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, things are changing so rapidly, and because our technology is evolving, you know, much more rapidly than we are, than we are as humans, it's really hard to keep up. And the way that people even enjoy and listen to and even consume music has changed so much. Everything is so readily available online. You know, just a couple of clicks and you can find, you know, everybody's discography, just boom, right there. It's which I think is wonderful in some ways. And the technology, of course, like everybody has a recording studio in their pocket or on their laptop. So that's lowered the bar of entry, which is wonderful. And that just means there's a whole lot more, you know, noise to kind of get your voice heard above. Not that it's all noise. There's a lot of wonderful music out there. There's lots of wonderful music in the world. And yes, the way people are consuming it and enjoying it and supporting it is changing. You kind of have to be, as an independent, you know, full-time music maker, you have to really pay attention to those trends and also figure out for yourself, you know, what sacrifices am I willing to make, you know, in the way I live my life, you know, living very frugally and making certain choices. And at least that's what it's been for me.
Yeah. I think back to when I was young. I'm about 30 years older than Heather. You know, it used to be that back in the dinosaur days, bands would tour to support the sale of their LPs.
Right.
And now it's flipped, hasn't it?
Kind of. I mean, there is still some of that, but then it's... I remember hearing a joke about the Rolling Stones are really just a very complicated T-shirt selling company. I can't remember where I heard that, but the merchandising, like that's... Like a lot of concerts I go to by some of my favorite bands, you might see LPs. You don't see CDs as much as you used to, but you see a lot of T-shirts and sweatshirts and hoodies and, you know, napkin holders and all of the things.
But the LPs are now marketed as luxury items.
Yeah, there is, like I say, there is a real sea change that's happening, and I think we're still in it. You know, it's just it's evolving all the time, and it's easy to get caught up in the cycle of that and start to worry, and the idea of, you know, comparison being the thief of joy, like, oh, well, that person is doing XYZ, I should do XYZ. But for me, it's really about coming back to, you know, what do I believe? How do my actions support my beliefs? How can I maintain my integrity as I, you know, want it to be? And how do I want to be seen and all of that? It's, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting a little too deep for this, but it's a deep topic. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of layers.
You know, you look back to the 1970s, you have bands like Big Star that the critics loved, but the record never went into distribution.
Yeah.
And they sort of were gone.
Yeah.
And I think that's one big change in the industry is that the, as you said, the barriers to entry to making a record are so much lower.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect you? How does that affect the marketplace in general?
Well, it just means there's a lot more, as much as I don't like this word in the context of music and art, there's a lot more competition. You know, there's so many more of us that are all vying for the same, you know, bookings or festivals or, you know, listening room gigs or radio interviews or press or whatever. There's so many more voices that are, you know, saying, hey, look at me, look what I'm doing. And you know, everybody wants that. Everybody wants to be heard and to be seen and to be appreciated. So, yeah, there's just a lot more competition. And because I'm not a very competitive person by nature, you know, maybe some opportunities whiz right by me that, you know, that another person might think those are the ones you should be going after. But I my philosophy from the beginning of doing this full time, especially, is to go where I'm invited, you know, because I want to honor that. If somebody really want, like, you know, house concerts, for instance, if somebody really wants me to come to their home and play in their backyard or in their living room or whatever, I want to try to make that happen and honor that request.
There's a difference in the way Heather Pearson is talking about music than the way a music mogul would. And that you're talking about the music, you're not talking about the bottom line.
Right.
And how many tens of thousands of dollars can we get if we add this blonde-haired bass player?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's an approach, right? That is a, you know, depending on the context, that can be a formula for quote-unquote success. And, you know, I wish you all the best. I don't know. Maybe I have a different definition of success. I mean, I've been doing music, nothing but music, full-time for 15 years, and that's a success story.
It is. It really is. I mean, but the focus is on the music,
yes,
not the business.
And business is important. It's important to surround yourself with people who can help you.
Right.
know, I have a booking agent, and I have a person who does tour publicity for me, and I have a person who's doing radio and press and all of that. And it's really about surrounding yourself with people who really believe in you. You can hire mercenaries. I don't like to hire mercenaries. I like to hire people who really believe in what I'm doing and are already fans of what I'm doing. And that's the right approach for me. It's not the right approach
for everybody. Right.
Yeah. And also I love to share it with people. I love to connect with like-minded folks, and to me, and especially with everything that's, you know, happening politically in this country, I just think that the idea of bringing people together around the ember of live music, around this, I really think we need to listen to each other more. At its best, music connects us and unites us, even if we don't agree. I forget who said, you know, we don't have to think alike to love alike. And to me, that is one of the guiding principles of my whole life, is just that we don't have to agree on everything. We don't have to agree on anything at all. And music, I think, is something that touches everybody in a way that sort of transcends all these other bright lines that we keep drawing around one another.
One of the coolest things that you do, Heather Pearson, is you share a lot of your jazz improvisations, a lot of your improvisational music with people online, either with Facebook concerts or from your website.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I have this, it's called Heather's Piano Piece, P-E-A-C-E, and I've been doing it for several years now. Every 3 days, there's a brand new, totally improvised piece of instrumental piano music that I make available on my website. You can just download them for free and listen to them. Yeah.
Of course, Heather will accept your donation if you want to listen to them, but you've not overtly monetized the project.
No, I haven't. No, it's really important to me to, because piano is where I started musically, and it's where I feel the most comfortable, I would say. Although, I do love to sing, too.
But
the piano, I feel like I can say everything that I want to say musically without having to put any kind of lyrical content to it. It's really a place where I can just freely express everything that I've been sort of rambling about.
Something that you said, Heather, made me suddenly think about Marion McPartland, the mm-hmm. late, great jazz pianist.
Oh, yeah.
And her radio show was a long-time staple all over public radio, where she'd have different musicians in, and they'd talk with each other, share ideas, and then improvise with each other.
Yeah.
You really enjoy just even watching you and Sean today. And, you know, the two of you are having fun improvising with each other up there on stage.
Yes.
I mean, that's what it's about for you.
Yeah, it's a conversation. Music is a conversation. And it's a language, and there are many dialects to that language. And I just keep, you know, trying to pick up the ones that feel the most comfortable in my skin and trying them out.
One of the records that you put out recently that I really, really enjoyed was Heart Songs and Circle Songs. You collaborated with?
My friend Bernice Martin. She's been a dear friend for about 20 years. For a number of years, I was a music director at a very small Unitarian Universalist church in Western Maine. And Bernice was a member of the congregation who had this beautiful voice. I could just hear this beautiful, deep, resonant voice coming from the back pew every Sunday. And I discovered that she is a gifted songwriter in her own right. And so in 2018 or 2017, we started collaborating on this project that we call Heart Songs and Circle Songs. And in 2018, we released the first of two so far full-length recordings of these songs that we call them songs for community singing. And really what they are singing as a spiritual practice without any, there's no dogma, there's none of that. It's just singing for the sake of singing. And we've been traveling, Bernice and I, all over the country, bringing community singing to lots of different places, to churches, to weekend-long events, to retreats. And it's been such a gratifying other facet to what I offer.
Well, listeners, if you couldn't tell, the last track you're going to hear is a collaboration between Bernice Martin and Heather Pearson. Now, Bernice actually wrote the song, right?
She did, yeah. It was actually written, listeners are probably aware of the Peace Pole Project, mm-hmm. and there was one installed at First Universalist of Norway, Maine, which is that small church that I was the music director for a number of years. When that Peace Pole was installed, Bernice wrote this song. I took it, harmonized it. We brought a whole bunch of our friends and fellow choir members into the studio to record a whole bunch of songs, including this version of May Peace Prevail.
Thank you so much, Heather, for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. This has been a pleasure.
May peace prevail upon earth. May peace prevail upon earth. Prevail upon earth. May peace prevail upon earth. May peace prevail upon earth. May peace prevail. May peace prevail. May peace prevail upon earth. May peace prevail upon earth. May peace prevail upon earth. May peace prevail. May peace prevail. May peace prevail upon earth. May peace prevail. May peace.